All right, everybody, we are happy to be here again. Another day, opportunity to understand the state space condition. That's what we're going to talk about today, state space. If you're a mathematician, engineer, scientist, you know of such thing as called the matrix. And the Matrix, okay, not the movie, the Matrix. The Matrix that is used to calculate vectors, fields, everything that's basically out here that would be in a system. So let's talk about this system for a minute. What is a system? Okay, a system according to an engineer, okay, I'm talking about this from an engineering perspective, a system is something that is created and controlled, and you have to understand all the factors that go into it in controlling it. So, we had the great architect of the universe, the creator. Most people didn't know that he was an architect, an engineer, a scientist. He's everything. Okay? So he architected the universe, just like we architect buildings, like we can architect cities, design them, put them together and have everything. So he designed the universe. Now, the issue is, what did he design the universe for? Some will try to say that he designed the universe for humans. Others will say, no, he didn't design it for the humans. He designed the universe for him, for himself and for everything else, for nature, for everything else to live and have its being. So people are trying to understand this creator who is in everything, and everything is in the architect of the universe. So that is very confusing. How could you be in something and be part of it, and how can it live and you live? It's just a little, but we're not going to get into all of that, the all in all. We're not getting into all of that. Okay, so when you have a particular system, and you have to keep it in balance, otherwise the system will self-destruct. So in the system that he created, was they had checks and balances, and everything was in reference to nature. Everything is in reference to voltage. Everything is in reference to energy. Everything is in reference to force. So if you don't have energy, then it doesn't exist. Simple as that. So for anything to exist, he was the force, who has the is encompassed in everything and created everything and keeps everything alive and well and moving. We have reduced him to a human, with a human form and with human ideas and human thoughts and human. We have reduced the architect of the universe. So how can something finite, which is us, we're finite, comprehend something that is infinite? We can barely comprehend the stuff that's basic on the planet. We don't even understand the universe. We don't really understand everything under the water. We don't understand everything under the earth. So how in the world are we going to understand the creator when we don't even understand his creation and how to live in harmony with his creation? That's just arrogancy and foolishness once again. And so the church is an occult. Now, okay, what is a cult? A cult is anything that studies anything that is not physical. So science is a cult. Psychology is a cult. Engineering is a cult. Everything is a cult. And spirituality, studying of spirituality is not the physical, so the church is a cult. So everything is the occult, according to their definition. So, but they tell you that don't deal with the occult because the occult is wicked. Well, then the church is wicked, which it is anyway. But that's what occult means, the study of the unknown, the study of what you cannot touch and feel. So these words and trickeries that they use to hook us up into believing a lie. So there's this scripture that says in Thessalonians that I will send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie because they love not the truth, that they might be damned because they love not the truth. So the only reason why anyone would be damned is because they reject the truth. And what is the truth? Well, the truth is encompasses almost everything. Well, if we talk about the truth of the Creator, the architect of the universe, he created everything in well balanced. Okay? We have it such that we breathe in oxygen, which the plants give off as waste, and we breathe in their waste as oxygen, and it gives us life, it sustains us, and then we breathe out carbon dioxide, which is our waste, and the plants breathe that in, which is to them is something that they could use to keep, to create oxygen and to create food and all of that. So he made it such that everything could be in balance, such that when trees decay and different things die, they go into the earth and then they create other things. So they don't pollute the earth. They, you know, refurbish the earth. So everything he created was perfect in reference to balance. Everything he created was to balance each other. Even though man believes, humans believe, that they have dominion over the earth, that they rule over the earth, and that they are the only thing that is intelligent, that is the biggest fraud that can be practiced on the earth. The Eurocentric viewpoint has perpetuated that. The Aborigines know that we are not superior to all of nature. They know that all of this all works in harmony. And when we go out of harmony, then everything self-destructs. And so we are the culprit and the problem. And so as we now, as time goes on, realizing that sustainability is vitally important so that the planet can stay, you know, in harmony and that we can live in harmony. So if the plants and the animals and everybody else lives in harmony with nature, and we are the only violators of nature and destroyers of the planet, then who is the most intelligent? Humans? Plants? Animals? It's obviously everything else that's in harmony with nature is superior to us because they live in harmony with it. But we got to be cocky and try to make up as if, you know, we're smarter than them and, you know, everybody needs to depend on us and all of this foolishness. And so they have taken it from the degree of animals, of plants, and us dominating over them till now we have groups of people dominate over other people to justify the same cause. And so in their mind, they believe that they can enslave others and keep others down because they have dominion over us. Yes, as we have dominion over the animals and the plants. So they say, hey, you guys believe that, hey, all humans have dominion over the plants and animals because they're lower class. So we who are in the upper class, we should have dominion over you because you are like plants. You're nothing. So that's the thing. That's the buy-in. The buy-in is so that you can agree that we can have dominion over the plants and the animals and the rest of the world, and then that falls you into the place that now we can have dominion over you, because you already agree that somebody's higher than others. So this is the psychological war game that is being played. So knowing that, we find ourselves in a position and in a place of suspended animation. Okay? We're like suspended in space and time. Now, if you are somewhere, look on your wall or look on anywhere, and you should be able to see maybe a picture or maybe a wire. If you're outside, you know, lamppost, wire, or anything, or a phone, or a clock, or a chair, or anything. And you can reduce that down to a three-dimensional space. And that's what we call state space. So that thing exists in an XYZ, in a plane, whether you have a horizontal, vertical, and depth. Okay, so that thing exists there. So they have decided that using this matrix with variables, and we vary. And why do we vary? Because we move about. So we move in time, we move in space, so that makes us a variable. Now, if we can, and we're nothing but this big, long equation. I remember when I was doing my master's. Was it my master's? Yes, it was my master's at Howard. Oh, my goodness. I was writing this long equation. And I remember they were quizzing me. They had me write this long equation. So I had to write this long equation, and it took up three blackboards. Do you hear me? Three blackboards. And I had to develop the equation. Oh, my goodness. And that was just for a control system. And I remember that so vividly that, yes, I had to write this long equation. So that's what we are. To them, we are just this equation that needs to be solved. We need to figure out how we can balance this equation using matrices, using variables, because that's what we are. We're variables. We move around on the planet. So how do we start monitoring these variables? Oh, first we got to get all these variables into a computer system. Now, how do we get all of these humans, all of these beings who are moving all over the planet, all over the place, all over the time, how do I get them into this computer system? How do I get them in to this system? Remember, we're dealing with a system, but now they're putting us in a computer system because we're a system, the world is a system, everything's a system. So that the Creator made, so now we're God, so we're going to create our own system. And one of them, they call it, is called the built environment. When I was in engineering, that's what they called it, the built environment. It's the real environment, which the Creator made, and then we have a man-made one called the built environment. Everything that we build is ours, and it's called the built environment. So now we're going to build this computer environment, right? We got the built environment. So the built environment is the streets, is the buildings, is, you know, the roads, is the planes, is the cars, and, you know, they got to drive on a highway, so that's the environment that they're in. So we have these houses such that now we're going to be able to tie electricity to them. And not just that, we're going to tie not just electricity, we're going to tie water systems to your homes, we're going to tie gas lines to your home. So all of these is a network. So you got all of these things crossing all over, phone lines, everything. So we're building our own built environment. We are now creators. Animals do plant that, so that means we are superior. But now there's another group that says, hey, now we got to, you know, regulate you guys. Just like we regulate the animals, just like we regulate the storm, just like we regulate the streets, just like we regulate the lights, and, you know, if you drive traffic here, okay. Now we got to do that to you guys. So now, how in the world are we going to get all of these people into this computer system? Well, that's real simple. We will make these people cyborgs. And a cyborg is individuals or things that are part human and part machine. Okay, so if you have to depend on anything, technology or any computerized systems, then you are a cyborg if you have to depend on it. Now, some people depend on their cell phones. Some depend on their Walkmans. Some depend on their Flex, what do they call that? That they walk around and they have their body armor on. Some have different things that monitor themselves all the time, watches. So they have all of these devices. We have all these external devices that are part of us. Okay, and so we are basically part human and part machine or technology, whatever we want to call it. So they said, okay, now we can get everybody to join this matrix that we are creating. And we can have them plug in to our big computer system. So how do we get everybody to do this? Now, you know, you're not going to get, you know, the 1.99995%, you know, like Emmanuel, who refused to get a cell phone. You know, people like him, we didn't care about him. So we're going to have everybody pay, or if they can't afford it, through welfare, we'll give them a cell phone. Now, this cell phone's going to have a GPS system in, so we can track them wherever they are. We can track, and we're going to record everything that they say, and we're going to put this into this big, huge system. Maybe it's called the brother, or maybe it's called the beast. That's what they used to call it in the past. So you got this big computerized system. And now we're going to give everybody access to it who has any sense. Okay, so now we're going to give programmers access to everybody's data, every conversation you have, everything. And so then, okay, so that's cool. I mean, Snowden told us that that's what they were doing and, you know, everybody else. So, okay, so we know that they're recording and videotaping everything, and they got this huge, massive supercomputers, obviously, that it takes to calculate all these things. And then we're going to run artificial intelligence. We're going to predict everything they do. We're going to monitor everything, and we're going to tell them where they're going, when they're going, and how they're going. And they're not even going to have to write anymore. They just speak into their phone, and we will interpret it for them, and we will work with them as if we are part of them, and they will depend on us so much that they would not even know how to read a map anymore of how to get from the East Coast to the West Coast. We would have them so dependent that they don't even know how to do anything except depend on us. And they will love this thing so much that we will make it addicting. See, we have to make them addicts to the system so that they cannot leave the system. And they will tell us if someone else is trying to leave the system. They will report on each other. That sounds like at the time of Hitler and the Nazi movement, they went forth and they said to their children that they educated in their school system, okay, if anybody's hiding a Jew, report them. If anybody is speaking against what we're talking about, report them. And so children were reporting their parents, and their parents were brought into these concentration camps and all the rest of that stuff. And so that's what's going on today. So what they have set up is a system of conditioning. So in our report, we did a report on brain hacking. In that report, they talked about brain hackers. Their job is to reach the brain stem. Now, if you remember in the movie The Matrix, they plugged you into the brain stem. Were they trying to tell us something? They said that the computers, when I was typing computers and I took programming back in the 70s, when I wrote Fortran programs and all that, I had to do a write-up program for my master's and for my doctorate. I had to write programs. So everybody has to write programs. Okay, so I wrote this program. Okay, and now, so when we would write programs, we would write programs to calculate things. So, like, we would calculate the space shuttle and its entry back into the Earth, and as the Earth turns, all these calculations, you know, how gyros do we have to calculate so that it can stay in space. You know, all of this type of stuff, that's what we would calculate. So now, today, they are calculating, they have people who are programming your brain stem. So they are programming programs to program humans. And you wonder if you're a cyborg. Of course you're a cyborg, because they're programming you. Now, they call it, I didn't call it this, they call it brain hacking. They say that they are trying to create endorphins inside of your body and into your brain so that you can secrete these hormones. And as you secrete these hormones, they will make you anxious. They will make you emotional. They will make you lonely. They will make you act actions. They will literally addict you to their program. Now, the key thing is that I found out that was so interesting in this report on 60 Minutes, brain hacking in June of 2017, that they have universities that are studying this, and they connected this guy up to probes, and they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to test you, and, you know, and so we're going to increase your anxiety and your endorphins, and we're going to be doing, and he could, and they could measure it, and they would see spikes every time his phone rang, and he couldn't get to it. Spikes. And these spikes were showing that the endorphins were dumping into his system and making him anxious and making him all of these different things, and that's what they do. And so they said that they would manually not send, likes to people. We would only send likes at certain times. And they, now this is another program that's running that you can tap into as a programmer. So there's this big, huge super program that's predicting and running algorithms on, you know, and they call you Experiment X on Lab Rat 795958 experiment. So they're probably using your cell phone number as the identifying number, not your name. And they're running all these artificial intelligence programs of when, if we send them these likes and these different things at this particular time, that they will get excited and that they will be happy and that they've, you know, and or they will be down because they're looking and they're not getting their responses and all of these different things. So we're going to be literally controlling people. Every 15 minutes, you're supposed to look at your phone. They addict you to that. So this is what is a cyborg. Now, some people remember back in the days that I lived, they had the $6 million man. And so the $6 million man, he had these, you know, super arms and jumps across here and all that. But now they're saying that, hey, now you can do more through your access through cyborg. But we're not going to give you superpowers in a sense. But I guess we can give you superpowers in a sense. We're not going to give you superpowers physically. We're going to give you superpowers psychologically, or we're going to program you to think that you have superpowers. While at the time that you don't have superpowers, well, you're just giving over your whole existence to us. I'm like, wow, this is deep. So as you are moving along day by day, I know some of y'all, you know, your phone will talk to you and say, hey, you're going to be late for work. Hey, there's traffic up ahead. Hey, you should take this route. Hey, I mean, so how do you think that they're telling you all that? They're running these big programs, man. And then they're spitting the information to you. And you depending on it to guide you through your life. And some people say they cannot live without their phone. They will kill for their phone. I'm like, wow. And Emmanuel, you should jump on the bandwagon with us and get a cell phone. Why would I get a cell phone? I didn't need the cell phones in the 70s and 80s, and we didn't need it back then, so why do I need one now? Because, man, you got to get with the game, man. You got to hook up with the Broadway, the wide gate that leadeth to destruction, and many that go therein. Because you don't want to stay on the straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be, not that go in. It didn't say. The broad way, everybody's going in. The narrow way, the straight gate, it says few there be that find it. So, Emmanuel, you're not even going to find it. But, you know, you found it, so you need to get off that road, bro, and join the boys. And I said, wait a minute, man. Are you telling me I'm supposed to give up my rights? I'm supposed to become a cyborg? I'm supposed to fall into the system? Yeah, man. It's the joint, man. You mean you are hooked. You are addicted to it. Oh, yes, I wouldn't live without it. And you want me to be like that? I don't think so. So, now, the thing that's the most interesting and most, how would I put it, most disturbing. No, it's not disturbing. The most wonderful thing that was revealed to me in 1980, I had a dream, a vision, whatever you want to call it. Okay. We were doing 21-day cleanse. I mean, we were just like tripping out, you know, doing all, you know, through food, okay? Not through herbs, not through drugs, not through any of that. No. We were doing 21-day cleanse program, 7-day raw, 7-day juice, 7-day raw. And then, you know, when you're in your 7-day juice, you're just like, wow, man, everything is different. And you come out from your class, you know, exam, and you look at the flowers, and they look so much brighter. Oh, man, and these, you know, everything looks living, and it's, you know, I mean, you're on another world, like. Now, and all of this is just natural, what Yahweh has planned for us all to participate in. But if we're caught up in cyborgs, then we're missing it. But anyway, so what had happened was it was showing me that we were in this system. Okay, so this is 1980. Now, you know, 2000 is when, you know, Matrix come out. So you're going to hear, like, you're in the Matrix, man. So basically what happened was I was in this state of consciousness being, whatever you want to call it, dream, whatever. Okay, so I was, like, in a church setting. Okay, we're in church, okay, we're sitting, and visually I see a church, and I see the people, we're gathering together, and then next thing I know, I'm transported somewhere else, and, you know, I open this door, and you open this door, and you're in this church situation. You go somewhere else, you open another door, and I'm at my home, okay? I open another door, and you're somewhere else. So you open these doors, or you get, you know, I mean, that's the way it looked like it was. And these doors were like in the projects. You know, 10 stories, 20 stories high, you know, projects. And then you had these corridors, you know, to go up and down these stairs, you know. And so now some of these that you go to an office, you go into office space, that's your workspace. Okay, behind this door is something else. And so in the Matrix, if y'all remember, the guy who was hooked up with the architect, he said that, okay, if you go through this door, okay, you can go through this door and save your girl, or you go through this door and save Zion. Now, which one are you going to say? So these are doors. So it was sort of like that. That's what I was in this dream. But remember, this is like 20 years before The Matrix comes out. So anyway, Yahweh shows me, the Creator shows me this. So I'm sitting up there talking to my boss. I assume, you know, I'm an engineer. And they said, okay, we're going to take you and we're going to put you on this island. We're doing some research and stuff. So you're an engineer. We want to send you out there. So they send me out there. I'm doing this research for them. And then they say that you can't go beyond these boundaries. Okay? So you know me. I go beyond the boundaries, and the alarms start going off and everything, and they pull everybody back. And then they do an evaluation. Who went outside the boundaries? Why did they do that? What is going on? Why aren't you obeying what we're saying? You know, this is our built environment. Get that? Their built environment that you are in. We're monitoring and we're controlling everything, and you're not cooperating. So they pulled me up into their office, and they were trying to find out what happened. So then they had to stop the conversation. Then they said, okay, they sent me back downstairs. So basically I'm walking through these corridors, walking down the steps, and we get to a place where you know, you're coming up and down the project stairs. Well, there's only one. You're coming up and down, and you're not supposed to have more than one person. So they said, okay, here's this card, and you use it to swipe to get back in, and then you come up to the office later. Okay, so we jumped off, and then I went down to where I was before with the church group, with the people. And so I went down there and told them, okay, guys, it's time to go. We are in a system that we have no clue what in the world is going on. These guys are monitoring us, controlling us, and we're out of here. We're escaping the system. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 18, come out of her, my people. And that's what we wanted to do. So yeah, so the Creator says, okay, it's time for you to go. Well, you're going to leave this system. So we go to the place. Now, remember, the guy gave me the card so I can get back in to, you know, go where he wants me to go. So I got this card. Now, remember, there was no cards all the way. Yeah, there was a few cards back in the 80s. So we got this card. And so I go to the elevator. I swipe it. And then the elevator comes down. And I tell everybody who wants to come, come on, let's get on board. So there's a bunch of us get on in this elevator. And then I run the card again, swipe it, and press exit. Or we're leaving the system or whatever the button was. So the next thing I know, we are, and we're on top of the world. We're on, so the whole time in this matrix, in this system, we were underground the whole time. And what happened was now we're on the surface of the earth, like in the jungle, in the forest. Okay, everybody out. And so now this is where we find ourselves. So when that happens and we all walk out and the elevator goes back down, the alarms go off, and they let everybody know that somebody has escaped. A group of people have escaped the system, and this can't be. So then at that point, they're saying, we're going to do a lockdown, and we're going to stop anybody who else is trying to escape. And so I remember my ex-wife, she was running, and she heard the alarm, and she went through a turnstile, and she fell. She had a baby in her head. She fell with the baby. And they grabbed her. And she could see that the walls that were there, that the they started to come down like a movie screen. And behind them were nothing but computer systems, videotapes, cameras, everything, that they were monitoring every second of our life and recording. And I was like, wow. Now, I'm out the system. I'm seeing what's going on in the system. And this is what happened. And so, now this 1980. Now, to know that, and now remember, when they had all of these cameras and stuff, they were monitoring and sending them through a supercomputer. And so when they said in brain hacking that they have access to this computer that has all this information, just imagine what's going through my mind. I'm saying, Dad, I was showing this 1980, of what they are saying, how they're brain hacking us, how they are making us cyborgs. I'm like, wow. Let the truth be told. And I was like, so we have to recognize that we are in Babylon. And the Bible says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, for her sins have reached unto heaven. Now, what is it talking about? We're partakers of her sins. Yes, we're partaking of their flesh. And what is it doing? It's benumbing our brains, blood and starch, put cyanide in our brains. And we know cyanide, that's the poison that they used, I believe, on the Jews to gas them. Okay, and so we're gassing ourselves by surrendering ourselves to a system of the built environment built on destruction. Now, if I wasn't an engineer, none of this stuff would make sense to me. But Yahweh said, I have to make you an engineer so you can understand how they are building this system of control and manipulation. While the people are going down this broad way, this wide gate, they are going to be sent a strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they might be damned. What is the most strongest delusion than to be a cyborg and not know? What is the biggest delusion to believe a lie, which will damn you in many ways, damage you, okay? How does eating blood and starch damage you? We just explained. It puts cyanide on your brain. How does being a cyborg, being connected to the system, have anything to do with you? Well, are you your own person? Are you your own man? Are you your own woman? Or are you just a computer glitch? Remember, we started this thing off with these variables and these equations. And so now, basically, when they are able to tell you where you're going or what they're doing, that's an equation. They developed an equation to predict where you are, what you're going to do, and so forth. And they are talking to you because they can make it perfect. So they can understand your very thoughts of where you're going, when you're going, every movement, so that they can understand your mind and help program you into
their... Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but maybe Jabari has noticed that if you're a person that keeps a location turned on your phone, then when you're leaving a certain place, it tells you you're so-and-so, like you're 5 miles away from whatever location you'd normally go to. Like, I don't keep mine on my phone, but my one friend was telling me that his phone, like whenever he leaves work, his phone will tell him that he's 10 minutes away from the gym because he normally goes to the gym after work. So his phone is obviously, you know, picking up what he normally does and figured out his schedule. So it's telling him, kind of help him. Or, I mean, to me, I was like, I think that's kind of creepy, you know, and he's like, oh, no, you know, it's cool because, you know, I usually go here anyway or whatever. But, I mean, just kind of like what you're saying, it's, I mean, obviously it makes people very dependent. I mean, and you keep it on all the time just to see what's going on. Like, you keep it on to see if cops are around. You keep it on to see if there's accidents going on. You keep it on when normally back in the day, when even when I was young, I mean, you would just drive. And if you saw an accident, you'd pick up the map and take a look and see how to miss it. And we would miss it. We'd go off on an exit, come back, and we would miss traffic. So I think that really relates to kind of what you're talking about in regards to reading our minds by, you know, what we do every day.
Yep, my phone does that all the time, actually. I'll be, it's finally gotten used to my Orlando schedule, because it used to tell me I'd have 2.5 hours till I get back to West Palm, and I was like, yeah, I don't live there anymore. But now it's basically updating me when I leave work, and it tells me how far until I get to my gym, and it does the same thing. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy.
I don't like that. My location, yeah. My phone is never on unless I have a GPS, like unless I need a GPS. Like when I came back from Florida, I had my GPS when I was with Jabari. I came back to Maryland. I used it maybe a week or two later, and my GPS told me I was in Florida. It was trying to tell me I needed to go like a couple thousand miles to get to the location, and then it had to update because it didn't know where I was, and that's how I like it. Although I don't know where I am, but at least it's not the, I'm not letting them know the easy way. They have to find it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes they
because
come
why
off.
Do you need to have your location on? Like, for real, there's not really a need for you to have your location on, Jabari.
No, you're right. Some of them actually don't really necessarily. They're some of them. I don't even know. Like Google Maps does that, and I don't even use Google Maps. That's about how it uses it.
Oh.
So sometimes it still uses it, even though like. Yeah, I don't even use Google Maps, but it updates me. But it's finally got used to my new schedule, so now it just tells me, hey, you know, you're 5 minutes from work, you're 2 minutes from work, or that kind of thing. Or you're 2 minutes from the gym, or, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's very, like I said, they monitor for everything. So. And now that my schedule and everyone's schedule, at least mine, very structured and very similar. I do certain things every day. I just continue the same kind of schedule. I don't switch things up. I just have a scheduled structure. It's easy to predict what my next step is depending on the day. It's kind of crazy. But yeah.
That's And that's kind of what that's talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
They know what's happening. They know what we're doing. Because, you know, all these systems. And, like, I mean, and some people wouldn't turn their location off because they're scared, well, I have to turn it back on, which takes 2 seconds. Or they wouldn't get a map out. They'd have to, rely on something else. If the GPS is broken, then I guess they're not going anywhere because they don't know how to read a map.
Yep. Man, you read about that.
None I heard. I don't know how true it is. These smartphones, they said you can't take the battery out.
Yeah, I can't.
You can. I watched somebody do it. A guy did it for Drake because he was fixing something on his phone. But I don't remember how he did it. He had to just took off the thing and then he pressed this and pressed that, like on the back with these little tools, and then took the back off and took the battery out. But, I mean, it's not an easy process like it used to be on the old phones where you just take the back off and take out the battery.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy.
So what do y'all think about all of this state-based variables and all we are is a mathematical equation that they're using to control and manipulate anxiety, stress, emotions, loneliness, in reference to the dream or vision or whatever you like to classify it. And as it relates to the scriptures, is this a strong delusion?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, is it really? Did you ever see that movie with Jim Carrey? I think it's called The Newman Show, Truman Show.
Can you talk a little closer to your mic?
Did either of you see the movie with Jim Carrey called The Truman Show?
No, part of it, but no.
It's a really old movie, and it was a guy who the whole world got to watch him, like, live his life on television. And, like, his parents, like, but he didn't know. He had no idea, like, fake. They put him through these fake storms and put him through all this crazy stuff, and they killed his parents. And, but they didn't really die. I mean, they were actors, so they, weren't on the thing anymore. But he figured it out at the end because his father was playing another role on the same set, which makes no sense. But then he recognized his dad, and then they, he was able to see that he was, just this guy that people were watching and, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I thought about the first time I think I heard Your Dream. Not the first time because I didn't even know anything about that movie. The first time we heard about Your Dream, but I mean, it's like that. And people liked the movie and thought it was kind of funny. And I'm like, y'all think it's funny, but this is like it's happening to you guys. So I don't really think it's funny because, people are watching everything that you do. They could watch him sleep. They could watch him eat. They could watch him go to the bathroom. They could, all that stuff. And he was like, it's just like a complete breach on privacy, which, is kind of going on now. And then it's funny because we talk about this because I was watching Enemy of the State a couple of days ago, and it made me think about you, Dad, because you used to like the movie, but not just because Will Smith was in it. I mean, you liked it because it was, the message behind it. We had to talk about it and stuff when I was younger. Just to make sure that we understood what was going on there and it wasn't just a fun movie to watch. And then something else funny that's been on my heart lately, I've been looking into Sodom and Gomorrah, just in regards to, looking at different reports and looking at different people who are trying to prove that it really existed, and obviously I believe it existed. And people were talking about, how fire and brimstone couldn't rain down from heaven and how that wouldn't happen and how it wasn't true. And then the guy went on and found that, there's a lot of sulfur in the area. So when that gets lit on fire, that turns into brimstone. So it's interesting we're talking about all this right now because this is kind of stuff I've been, it's been on my subconscious for like a week or two now that I've been kind of looking into on my own. But I definitely believe it's 100% real, and it's interesting, I think.
Yep. So good that you're connected to the universe who's revealing all of these things to us at this time. So keep in contact with the Creator, with the universe as it reveals things to you all. But you guys are special. Y'all have been trained through homeschooling. Y'all have been trained to understand and see what is not obvious. And you guys are ready. Y'all can see Babylon. Y'all can see the wide gate. Y'all can see the delusion. Y'all can see everyone's asleep. You can see the matrix. Y'all can see it all. Because y'all are, we were raised, you guys, to be John the Baptist, the voice in the wilderness, to take over. So y'all have a high responsibility. So think about it as y'all go through the day, as y'all are moving. Listen to the Spirit. Let the Spirit talk to you. Don't turn it off. Keep it in mind. And some of those things that you haven't, call me. Let me know about it. So we could talk about them to see if the Spirit has anything else he would like to reveal to us or through us to help us understand what's going down. Are you getting things like that too, Jabari?
I know I'm fascinated to have dreams and this and that, but I can't think of anything clearly off the top of my head right now. So.
No, your sister didn't say she got dreams. She said it was on her thoughts of, you know, the homosexuality, the things that are going on. She's able to start pulling it together.
Yeah, coming out of that regard, a lot of interesting things happening. Boxes of Hollands about that when we were here. when they came down to see me last Tuesday, the Hollands, you know, Nelson, Fran, Tiffany, James, they were down here. So,
yeah. No, I didn't know that.
Okay. It was interesting because I forgot what Tiffany mentioned, but she said there was something about a TV show as a kid that she used to watch about some cow named Otis, but it's a cow. So, you know, it's cows are female, but Otis, it was a guy. So, of course, no, now everyone is just like, well, you can be a guy if you want to be a guy, and you can be a girl if you want to be a girl. So they were saying, wait, that was happening back when, you know, they were kids and they're watching a show about a cow that's a guy. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, really? So, interesting. Interesting things, I must say. You know, things are kind of going in that direction right now. But, yeah.
A topic of things to discuss. Of course, you know, I recently got back from the Caribbean and had a two-week amazing, fantastic time down there. And my one friend was asking me if I felt different down there. And I was like, well, come and think of it. I mean, yeah, you know, just more at ease. Not like vacation in America, you know, different. Because, I mean, not rushed. You know what I mean? Kind of, I didn't need nearly as much sleep. You know, I was working out while I was down there, too, but, I mean, their gyms didn't have air conditioning and all that kind of extra stuff, so it was just, you know, but I felt good. I felt great. Mentally, I felt, you know, just in this really awesome place, and in my mind, I attributed that to being on vacation, you know, to be like, oh, okay, I was on vacation, so I'm having a great time, you know, and this is why I felt this way. And actually, the more that he and I talked about it, he was saying something that Ben says in regards to, what's it called? Like, not the vibes, but, like, the frequencies and things like that. There aren't nearly as many because St. Vincent is such a small country. I mean, they don't have skyscrapers. They don't have that kind of stuff. Like, they just almost got, like, wireless internet. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very small place. But it's beautiful and it's amazing, but it's very much not anything like America. You know what I mean? and how I felt, and especially this time being there for 2 weeks as opposed to being there for 4 days, my body kind of got to, like, detox. I mean, yeah, the food, you know, the drinks and all that kind of stuff, too. I mean, but mind you, I wasn't just there drinking, like, apple juice and stuff. I mean, it was, like, it was carnival, so everybody's, you know, drinking other stuff, too. But still, like, just how I felt, and then I come back to America, and I already felt not annoyed to be off of vacation, because I didn't mind. I mean, it was 2 weeks. I get it. I'd come back to work. I like my job, so it's not like I hate coming back to work. But it's just a whole different, you know, neither one of us were, like, in the best, like, a couple of days when we got back. And it wasn't like we were fighting, you know. It was just that we just weren't in a good mood, you know. We just didn't feel right, you know. And it was interesting because my friend was talking about that. And he's like, you know, Rahima, honestly, I feel like, you know, it's the frequencies that are, you know, to control you and control your mind and that kind of stuff. So you're in America with all these frequencies and all this stuff that they're doing to you that your body becomes immune to, or you don't listen anymore because you're so used to it. When you go to a country where that kind of stuff isn't being implemented yet, or not being implemented nearly on as big a scale, you feel a physical difference. And I felt that. Like, even Key West, I didn't feel that, you know, relaxed and awesome. Even though, I had an awesome time. Not saying I didn't have a great time. You know, Jabari and I, we had a blast. But this was different. So, Dad, when you travel out of the country to smaller places, you know, do you feel that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, when I go to... Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, it's a big change, too. Like, and the thing about it is, I mean, if you're thinking like I was thinking, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just relaxed, I'm on vacation. Like, no, that's not it. That's not at all what it was. And I'm happy that my friend brought that up to me because I mean, I know you talked about it before and things like that, but for some reason, they both didn't click together for me until he mentioned it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. This is the kind of stuff Dad talks about. And he's like, your dad talks about that? I'm like, yeah, my dad talks about all kinds of stuff that, you know, people don't think about. You know what I mean? And he's like, talk to your dad about it and let me know what he says. And I'm like, I'm positive he'll tell you yes because I remember our conversation. So, yeah, that's interesting. Just to think if we were to actually, like, move to a different country, how much healthier mentally we would be.
Yeah, we kind of felt it in Bahamas, too. We were in Freeport for like 3 days or something. And phone was off. I didn't even miss it. I didn't even miss my phone. Phone was off the whole time. And it was just a relaxed feeling. Didn't feel like I was missing anything. Didn't feel like anything was going on that I didn't, you know. And Freeport's really small. I mean, that wasn't Nassau at all. It wasn't Nassau. It was Freeport. Small little areas, hotel and by the beach, that kind of thing. But that was really all the Freeport. Just really quiet.
Yeah, I remember. It was beautiful, and you're right. I mean, neither one of us had our phones on. I had my phone on airplane mode for pictures, but couldn't receive anything. You know, I couldn't, you know, call anybody or text anybody. I couldn't look at anything online. I couldn't do any of that. And neither one of us, yeah, you're right, neither one of us missed it. Like, I almost didn't want to turn my phone back on when I got back in America because I didn't feel like, oh, I don't really need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But some people would have freaked out, you know, for that because people, you know, some people would have freaked out and would have put international plans on their phone and paid, you know, $100 extra for that month or whatever just to have access to their phone. And like Dad was saying, some people feel like they can't live without it. And a lot of people, I believe, can't live without their phones.
Yeah. It's good to get away, get off the grid, you know, relax, take some time away.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, the important people know where you are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck? That's what I was saying to Dre. Like, he's like, if you want to do a thing on your phone, you know, you can talk to your family while you're gone or talk to your friends. I said, I can talk to people on Wi-Fi, and the important people know where I am. And the more important people have your number. So if they really need anything, they can call you. I don't need to do that. You know what I mean? I don't need to be on my phone all the time. And you won't even believe my phone battery did. Well, my phone battery lasted like two and a half days, obviously, out there because I wasn't even using it. You know what I mean? Like pictures, maybe. That was it. You know, I was barely using my phone.
Yeah.
Good stuff. People don't feel like, I don't know, people can't really be free like that anymore, but I mean, I think it's a great feeling.
Yes, well, I'm glad that you guys are awake that y'all are seeing what's going on. Hey. All right. So, we pray that as we go through this week, that the Creator will tell us and reveal more things than ever before.
Amen
to
that.
Children are not asleep. You know, a lot of people are asleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On the highway, on the byway. And you guys are seeing right through it. So now let's just keep it in mind. So when it's time for us to flee, don't worry, I'll let you know.
Yeah, but it's good to have these kind of conversations.
Ship.
That's good.
I mean, you have to if you're going to, you know, understand what's going down.
Yeah, but it shows that we're kind of like, we're on the same wavelength, you know what I mean?
It's interesting that you use the word wavelength, and we're on the same frequency. You were using those words, that the frequency that we want. Yes, that's correct. I meant to mention that on the cell phones, they want to keep you on the vibration, the frequency of anxiety, loneliness, emotional, you know, actions, hatred, murder, killing, all of that.
Yeah.
Where Yahweh wants to keep us on a different frequency. Love, compassion, mercy, grace, forgiveness. So do you see the difference? And there are two different frequencies. And that's, one is the broad way and one is the straight gate.
Yeah. Dad, did you see Kingsman? That movie Kingsman that came out, I don't know, 2014 maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember the character that Samuel Jackson played? Remember the frequency
yeah.
that they gave out these phone tips and the frequency they turned on and people started killing each other because of the frequency? And it wasn't, even if you were in the vicinity, you turned into this hate, you know, person that really hated people and started killing people. And it's funny that she would say exactly what you just said because, I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously we've been talking about this for years, you know, but seeing it, you know, other places and seeing it in action and, you know, hearing about it more, you know, you're seeing it in other places. Like, for example, like you said, you know, The Matrix kind of showed some things that you believe in. You know, this movie showed things, which is a more recent movie, how easy it is for frequency. Like, the mother was trying to murder her child, which is crazy because, you know, parents don't usually kill their kids. But because of the frequency she was on, she was trying to kill her kid. So it's very interesting that you use those words too, because I'm with you. I'm right there with you. We're eye to eye. I hear you, man.
Wow. I mean, I'd never even related that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's
all
a new one
right.
coming
so
out sometime
keep,
soon.
Yeah, I heard about that too. But so we got to keep in mind and we got to keep on track. We can't get sidetracked by these, you know, about what's going on, because that's what they want to do to us. All right, any other questions or comments or thoughts from you all?
Nah.
Otherwise, I'll close out. We have someone offer prayer to close us out.
Dear Lord, thanks for bringing us together today. And thank you for your loving mercy and keeping us around to be able to speak to each other and bounce things off each other. And thanks for putting things in our minds for us to look deeper into. And just wanted to pray that this week we're all able to get a little closer to you and listen to the things that you put in our ear and that we can come back together next week and talk about them or even earlier than that to really discuss what kind of things you're putting on our hearts. Thank you for everything that you've done to help us, and please continue to keep us in your name, I pray. Amen.
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 Let me just on the record.